I'd like to just talk briefly this afternoon about three questions of life, three life questions. They're not my original questions, and you possibly have heard them before. Those three questions are very important to our lives, and they're very important because they're not just in the theory and they're not just in the abstract, but they're questions. The way that we answer these questions and the way that we believe and understand these questions, frankly, will affect every day of our lives. And those questions are this: who am I? Why am I here? And what am I doing? I'm sorry, where am I going? Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? A lot of people wonder about who am I? Where did I come from? We talk about people looking for their identity, looking for who that they are. And we need to answer that question: who am I? Who am I? The Bible tells us in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us that we're all created in the image and the likeness of God. And if you turn to Acts chapter 17, Paul, that's where he started when he was preaching to these people, these Greeks in Athens, where they were filled with great philosophy. The place where he started with them was he told them, you're created, you're a created being. Paul would go to the Jews and he wouldn't start with creation because they already believed in creation. He would start with them with the Old Testament scriptures and preach prophecies of the Messiah and then preach unto them Jesus. But when he came to these pagans who didn't believe the Old Testament, who had all kinds of different thoughts and theories and had probably all kinds of different stories about their origins, Paul started with this in verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and we move and have our being. That's where it is. That's who I am. I am created by God. God owns my life. Every breath that I draw, God has given to me. I'm created in the image of God. In him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. Who am I? Am I an evolved ape? And am I an evolved animal? And we all know that the reason that philosophy is pushed is so that people can get rid of someone that they're accountable to. But if I'm created in the image of God, and if I came from God, and that's who I am, I'm created by God, that means I'm accountable to that God. That means I have to answer to that God who gives me my every breath. That means that what I do on Friday night and Saturday night and Thursday morning and Wednesday afternoon, that I'm accountable to the God who gives me my every breath, my every heartbeat, who has given me all that I have. I'm not mine. I'm created by God. That's where it starts. But also, it even goes more than that, because man was created good and very good. But to answer that question even further, I also have to say, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against this God. I've wronged this God. I've been stinky in the nostrils of this God as he already preached to us. The Bible says in Psalm 14, it gives a very clear picture of who man is in and of himself. Who am I? I'm created by God, but I'm also a sinner. I'm also one who has broken the law of God. I'm a criminal. I'm a criminal before the judge of heaven. You know, people say, there's a little good in everybody. There's a little tinge of goodness. I know that there's murderers on death row, but even if you talk to those guys for a while, you'll see after a while they really have a soft heart, and there's really a little good in everybody. There's a little good in nobody. You know that? He said that these kids know how to lie all by themselves. I've got bad stories I can tell about my childhood. I knew how to steal and lie and do it all by myself. There wasn't a little good in me. There was an image of God that was still remaining in me, but that image is marred by sin. And so everything about me by nature is corrupted and filthy and stinky. That means my thoughts, my will, my conscience, my motives, everything about me without Christ is unclean. Everything about me is unclean. You know, some people do things that are good. We can do good things on the outside, but it's done with the wrong motive. And so in and of myself, I'm created by God, and then I'm a sinner. I'm one who has stunk it up before heaven. I'm piggybacking off of his language here this afternoon. I've stunk up before God, and I'm filthy before him. In Psalm 14, it says in verse 2 that God looked down. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And he found some wonderful church folks who were very kind and sweet and good. Your laughter tells me you've read Psalm 14 before. That's not what God found. That's not what he found. He found rebels. He says they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, instead of saying they, say me. I. Timothy went aside. Timothy became filthy. Timothy did good. Not even one thing good. That's who I am. I'm a sinner against God. Listen, if we cannot, we will never, ever, ever appreciate grace until we can see who we are in and of ourselves. I'll never appreciate clothing, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, until I can first see that I'm naked before God. I can never appreciate that Jesus Christ, who is a rich man, that mighty man of wealth, Boaz and Ruth, that mighty man of wealth, I'll never appreciate that he paid my debt until I can see that I was penniless before him, that I was bankrupt before God. Who are you? You're a sinner before God, and that's me too. Who am I? I'm created by God. I'm created in His image, but I'm fallen. I am filthy. I've broken His law. I'm a rebel. I have nothing good in myself, in and of me. But I tell you, for the one who's in Jesus Christ, for the believer in Christ, you don't have to stop there. When you answer the question, who am I, you can go a little further. If you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, yes, I'm created. Yes, I'm a filthy sinner, but you can go further. You can go further. In Zechariah chapter 13, there's a wonderful truth of Scripture in Zechariah 13. It's good news to people who see themselves as filthy and polluted before God. In Zechariah chapter 13, in verse 1, speaking of a prophecy of Jesus Christ, of who, what He would do, it says, in that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Isn't that good? That's what that song that we sing is based upon. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Who am I? I'm a sinner before God. But the good news is I can go further than that. If I'm in Christ, I can say more. I don't have to stop at the part where I'm a sinner, but I can say I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 1, I think it's verse 5, it says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His precious blood. Isn't that good to know? Your greatest identity is what? Your greatest identity is not in being an American. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm patriotic. I pray for my nation. I'm thankful to when I go to foreign countries and I say, yeah, I'm from America. I'm glad to know. I'm glad to see on that when we're going home, this plane is bound for the U.S. And I love to cross back into customs and see that guy, let him stamp the passport. I'm home. I'm glad to be an American. But my greatest identity does not lie in being an American. If I were an engineer or a lawyer, which I'm far from those things, my greatest identity would not be in my profession. My greatest identity is not being even a member of Zach Guess's family, although I'm extremely thankful for that, especially for the spiritual part. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm glad to be called a guest. But my greatest identity, if I had none of those things, if I was an orphan in this world, my greatest identity would be that I am in Jesus Christ. That I am in Jesus Christ. That is the greatest identity that we have. That I can call upon His name and claim His name, and daily I can come back to that fountain and be washed and cleansed from that pollution in my heart and my soul. Who am I? I'm a sinner. I'm created in the image of God. I'm a sinner. And by the grace of God, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But the next question I want to ask is, why am I here? A lot of people wonder that. Believers and unbelievers both. What am I doing here? I mean, I get up, I go to school or go to work or do my housework. I'm a mother, take care of my children, change diapers, do all these things. I'm an old person. I don't have a lot of enjoyments. I'm lonely. I'm hurting. Why am I here? Why am I here? What's the point? I heard a very, very sweet lady recently who's a wonderful believer, but she has a son. An older son who just divorced his wife and they split up their home. The children still in the home. Terrible selfishness on their parts. And she was talking about, well, he's, you know, living here now. He's bought him a house and we hate it, but he seems to be happy. But he seems to be happy. I'm not here to be happy. God has given you His breath and His oxygen and His air so that you can be happy. God has me here that I might be holy. And here's the trick. When I'm holy, that's when I'm happy. When I'm walking in the light as He is in the light, that's when I'm really happy. When I'm rejoicing in knowing Him, that's where true happiness is. Someone says, I'm here to be happy. Do you know that my existence and your existence, young person, old person, all of us, my existence is not about me. That's a lesson I constantly have to learn, and I've not learned it altogether there totally yet. My existence is not about me. My existence is not for me. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4 says, "The Lord hath made all things for what? For Himself." It says, "Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." God has made all things for Himself. In Revelation 4 it says, "Lord, You created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." The reason I'm here is that God, His pleasure, has placed me here. And He's created me. He's given me His earth to live in, His food to eat, His rain to send down upon me to nourish and to give what is needed. And it's not given to me for me, so that I can go do what I want to do. Romans 11 and verse 36 says, "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Young person, you're not here just to have a good jolly time. Life is serious. Life is serious. We've probably all known folks, young folks who died, we'd say died early, humanly speaking, who lost their life in some unforeseen, unexpected thing. And we're always reminded during those times, wow, life is serious. Life's important. But it's true even when those things haven't happened recently. Life is not a game. It's about me bringing glory and honor to God. Amen. And that's not a bad thing. And I said earlier, when I'm doing that, when I'm living in a way that brings Him glory and honor, that's when my soul is satisfied. That's when my soul is enriched. That's where I'm really, truly joyful and happy. Why am I here? I'm here for Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, the whole book of Ephesians, you know, describes the riches of the grace of God. But what does it say over and over and over in Ephesians, especially in chapter 1, when it's talking about the glorious salvation that God has given to us, when it talks about God choosing people, predestinating them to be adopted into His family. And what's the point of it? Let's read in verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Why? Why? "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." In verse 11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Isn't that good that God has an inheritance awaiting for us that's been allotted to us? Riches were rich in Christ Jesus. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But what does verse 12 say? It says that. That is purpose statement. Why? What's the reason? What's the point? Why did the Father choose a people? Why did the Son bleed and suffer and die and bear their curse? Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here, is that we might be to the glory of God. Jesus Christ did not go to the cross and did not suffer and bear my griefs and my sorrows and did not bear all my filth and all my lies and my pride and all my ugliness so that I could just live for me. But He did that so that I might live to His glory and to His honor. You know, that life is about something a lot bigger than just me. Sometimes we think in the lives we believe sometimes that what I do is only going to affect me, okay? How I live, I may make a few bad choices. Everybody does. And then they get over it, live to tell about it, laugh about it. It only affects me. No. Not true. It affects everything. It affects everything. If you remember the house of God, it affects the institution of the Church of Jesus Christ. It affects the Church of Jesus Christ. Young people, if you're a baptized believer, if you're a follower of Him, if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, that is an incredible privilege, a glorious thing, and an incredible responsibility. Because you're not your own. You're the Lord Jesus Christ, but also you are part of His body. How I live, what I do, does affect other people. It affects my family. It affects those who see me and those who watch me. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for His glory and for His honor. And this affects everything. He's already touched on it in so many ways. He hit the practical points. Okay, I've got to glorify God in the way that I speak. We say, well, you know, the big important stuff about serving God is you know, all these, I talked this morning about spreading the gospel. The big important things is the brethren going to India and all that. That's the important stuff. It is important. But it's also important how I speak daily. But whether or not I'm gossiping, it's also important of what I'm doing, of what I'm watching, what's going into my eyes. What are we putting into our hearts? What are we putting into our eyes? What are we putting into our minds? The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This gets down to the area of our entertainment, of what we're watching, what we're looking at, what we're listening to, what we're being influenced by. To say it bluntly, if you put trash in, trash will come out. If you put dirty stuff in, dirty stuff will come out. Why am I here? It does affect me, and I'm here for it does affect others. I'm here for the glory of God. I'm to glorify God as a student. I'm to glorify God as an employee. If you have a job, you know that the Bible speaks about that. In Colossians chapter 3, you know, Christians, I'm convinced. I talked today about being a witness, about shining that light. I'm convinced one of the best ways that I can be a witness is to be a good employee. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22, it says this. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers. I've been so guilty of that. I'm just kind of goofing off and the boss comes around and man, I'm just really getting with it. I've done it. He said, that's exactly what you're not supposed to do. Don't do it with eye service as men pleasers. Don't do a good job when the supervisors are around only. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. That is in purity, sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So when I'm on the job, I'm to be doing a good job because I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm doing it to His glory and to His honor. In my marriage as a husband. You know, when they say, well, serving the Lord is going to church, serving God is going to church and reading your Bible and doing those things. And then, it quits when you do the time clock or it quits when you're just at home. No, it never quits. Everything about this, He's already preached powerfully, is to be to the glory of God. But in Colossians chapter 2, we could go very far with that. But one thing I want to notice here is in Colossians 2 in verse 10. One of the best ways, one of the chief ways that we bring glory to God in our existence is by this. Is by finding our complete satisfaction in Him. In Colossians chapter 2 in verse 10, it says this. Starting verse 9, talking about Jesus Christ. It says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That verse goes a long way. I'm complete in Him and my salvation. He's all my righteousness. He's all my redemption. He's done all that it takes. In Him, I'm full. I'm complete. In and of myself, I'm bankrupt. But in Him, I have been given the riches of His righteousness. There's so many ways to go with that scripture. But it also is this. I'm complete in Christ. In that in Him, I find all my true satisfaction and completion. In Psalm 37 and verse 4, it says this. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, we our ears perk up the last part. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. We're like, all right, I've got a long list. What's the first part? He says, delight thyself in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I'm so glad God commanded that. It's not a suggestion. He didn't say, be happy if it works out. He says, no, delight yourself in God. Get your joy from knowing Him and serving Him. Delight yourself in Him. You know, sometimes young people, they say, listen, and I've been there and done that. I'm 14, I'm 15, and listen, and if Johnny cannot be my boyfriend, I'm just not going to be able to live. And some of these love songs are so over the top of me. They're so exaggerated. If I don't have so-and-so, you're my life, you're my everything, I breathe you, you're all. If I don't have you, I'm nothing. Okay, I'm not quoting one, but you get the idea. I'm complete in Christ. You know what? You may find that wonderful person, and the Lord has made marriage into a glorious thing. You know, that person might die. But today, Mark Jones is still complete in Jesus Christ. Incredible loss. Incredible pain. Incredible gift of God is gone, but He's still complete in Christ. Pain that will always be there, no doubt, but He's complete in Him. Don't look to someone or something for your full, complete satisfaction. Who did the Apostle Paul have in prison? All by himself with the rats? He had Jesus Christ. It's easy for me to say. I'm not telling you I've lived this perfect. I'm just saying, listen, brothers and sisters, this is where it lies. I glorify God when I find all that I need in Him because I'm complete in Him. I'm thankful to know that. Praise God. Who am I? I'm created in the image of God. I'm a sinner. I'm dirty. But I have hope. I have faith in Him. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why am I here? I'm here for His glory. I'm not here for me. I'm not here to be happy. I'm here to bring glory and honor to God. And then lastly, where am I going? You say, well, that's kind of the least important one because we all know that. And the most important thing is what you're doing here. But listen, I need to know where I'm going. I need to know where I'm going. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Because even when I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm trying to do it, and I'm trying to be faithful, and I get dragged down, and I get tired, and I get weary, and it gets hard, and there's attacks, and there's enemies, I need to remind, hold on a second, where am I going? This world's not my home. There's a finish line out there. What's at the finish line? Where am I going? You know that people are going to one of two places. You know that? There's some people on that last day who Jesus will separate. It'll be the goats. And they'll go to a place, it says, where the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. You know, that's serious. That's serious. Jesus said He talked about hell pretty frequently in the Gospels. And those who are not in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to eternal punishment. Our articles of faith say that we believe that it goes like this, the bliss of the righteous and the punishment of the wicked will both be eternal. It's amazing. That's what we deserve. But if I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ, the bliss of the righteous is forever and ever and ever. I'm going to see the Savior. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me. I'm so glad Jesus said that. He didn't say, Father, get them to heaven and then send them to the corner over there. I've done enough for them. No, He said, Father, I want them to be with me that I may behold Thy glory. And when you and I can keep our eyes on that, even when there's pain, and even when there's difficulty, even when we're trying to do what we're supposed to do, when we're trying to live for His glory, His glory is hard and we're weak and there's difficulties, there's disappointments and there's pain. If I can keep my eye on where am I going, that will help me be faithful to the Lord. Those three questions, the three answers to those questions will affect my life and your life every day. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? May God bless these thoughts.